Well, we're looking back into the subject we were covering last week in the areas of spiritual growth or growing up spiritually is what the title is. But we're talking about the natural man, and the natural man was we're dealing with the fact of a person who's not born again. And we looked at some things and it went through the things of scriptures concerning this person who is not born again, their spiritual condition. And that's important to know as dealing with people who are sinners. One of the things that we found out is one of the things that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will do, and it's written in John, is the Holy Spirit, his job concerning the sinner is to convict the world of sin. And this is one of the things is really, if you look generally in the church world today, sin is not talked about very much. And even dealing with sinners, you don't hear the things about sin. But really, the whole point of the Holy Spirit dealing with the unbeliever is going to deal with them in the areas of sin because they have the sin nature. The person is not going to get born again if they don't realize their need of salvation, their sin condition. You know, as I've said before, and I mean, I've heard ministers say this, and I mean, even spirit-filled ministers, they say, well, people, talking about people in general, the world and stuff, said people are generally good. I mean, I know one thing, he never preaches the gospel to people. That's never preached, because you cannot believe people are generally good. They're not. You know, is one of the things that I, you know, convicting the world of sin is, and you first, people heard me tell my testimony about how God dealt with me when I got born again when I worked at Reese's. He dealt with me with my spiritual condition. The Holy Spirit would speak to me when I was at Reese's, and I would go to the lunchroom. I was by myself, and he would deal with me. He would say to me, what's going to happen to your family? And I knew what was happening. He was dealing with me, my sin nature, because of my nature of sin. I was not leading myself off to hell. I was leading my family off to hell. In other words, he was showing me my condition of what the condition I was in. And he wasn't trying to tell me that I'm generally a nice person. He was generally showing me that I was a pretty rotten guy because I'd lead my whole family off to hell. You know? And he didn't do it to be mean to me. He was telling me my condition so I would come to the knowledge that I needed saved. That I needed salvation. We need to understand that. It's one of the things is understanding this about a person who is not saved. A person who is not saved, a non-born again person, does not have the love of God. So therefore, they don't know what true love is. Nobody who is not born again knows what true love is. Anyone who's not born again, their love is based on the world's love and love, and the basis of it is selfishness. You know, one of the things that I've always cracked me up is, you know, when Mother's Day comes, you know, you hear all these things and people say, and you hear ministers say that mother's love is equated to the love of God. That's the biggest bunch of bunk you ever heard in your life. You know, mother's love is generally selfish. It's about my kids and my that's what it is. That's not the love of God. You know, and if you operate in the love of God, go to imagine if God would have operated like we talk about, you know, what love is. I mean, we'd all end up in hell. He would say, you guys are out there bad. You don't belong to me. You belong to the devil. Goodbye. I'm looking after what belongs to me. Let me alone. He didn't do that. And so when you get the love of God in you, and the love of God, you know, it changes your life. And we're dealing with people. You know, when I, you know, is one of the things is when I first got born again, I, you know, God really dealt with me about the fact of, you know, dealing with the love of God is really, I live my life like toward Wanda. You know, we talk about loving somebody, but I realized I didn't really love her. It had to work out for me, you know. If it wasn't working for me, and I was upset at her. And, you know, I loved her when I got what I wanted. But the bottom line of it is, you know, and that's the way people are. It's the basis of it. Is, you know, most Christian, the average Christian, if in which they do, they say that, in fact, it's passed over the 50% mark of Christians end up in divorce. It's because people don't walk in love. That's why. They follow natural human love. You know, their basis of, you know, and I've heard people say, well, I don't love that person anymore. Say, well, what do you mean by that? You don't love them anymore. Well, you know, they'll come up with all these things about the person. Well, love isn't based on on that. What's what you know is you know everything works for me is one of the things that God really had to deal with me at concerning my love for Wanda could not be based on its benefit for me. Now, me walking in love benefits me because my faith will work, but is loving her couldn't be based on her performance. It couldn't be based on that. And so, when I would turn around and sometimes she would do some things and I would just, learn how to keep my mouth shut, but I would complain to God about it and the Lord would say to me, he would always remind me of something I did. If I said she did, he would remind me of something. He used to make me so mad. But it's getting around to it is understanding it. Well, you turn around and you walk in love. You find out, things in life, generally, everybody has idiosyncrasies. They have their stuff and you, love gets around, comes to a point, it doesn't pay a little attention to a lot of the stuff. I found, things that bugged me, didn't bug me anymore that I had got to get over that. Because love will get over those things. It doesn't matter. There's so much in life we spend all of our time with trying to fix and do, and we waste time. It's really stupidity. And basically, we're trying to get somebody to be what we want them to be. And it's number one, they get to be what you are. You're probably going to like them less. So it's like that isn't what you want to do. But if you want to see, here's one of the things about changing people. Do you want to see them change for their benefit, or is it for your benefit, or are you just tired of putting up with it? Sometimes people's prayers don't get answered about people because they're praying for people because of what bugs them. It's not for the benefit of the person. It's for themselves, It's just like, lots of times people, they do wrong concerning their kids and disciplining their kids when their kids are straight out. It's because they're just fed up and tired of what their kid's doing. But they're not trying to train their child for the benefit of the child so the child can have a blessed life. They're not doing it. They're doing like, you bugged me. And that doesn't fix anything. That doesn't fix anything. It's like you got to want to do it for their benefit. And so that's what true love is. And there's one thing about it. When I was in the world, I didn't have none of that. It was, me and Frank Sinatra. I was doing it my way, and it's all about me, it's one of those jobs, and that's the way we did it. And understand, that's the way we're dealing with people in the world, and we need to be very careful because of how we look. This is one thing, as I learned, is I don't expect the people in the world to act right. Right now, it's very hard for a lot of Christians in America because of what's going on, but they need to realize they're dealing with sinners. And they're acting like sinners. And it bugs people that they're acting like sinners. And you got to learn to, hey, hold it. Not let that stuff throw you of all the things that we see going on. There's some people, they know better than what they do, but those are things that God's going to have to deal with and deal with them on. But this natural man, understand, the natural man lives off of, we talked about last week, was sense knowledge, and understand that. We read through and looked at things that the scriptures talked about, those, like we were in Romans 8, which talked about the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and it can't be. So a person who's living and walking under those, the nature of the flesh, which is not being born again, you have the sin nature, that individual is, they're going to be an enemy of God. There's enmity between them and God. And so we need to understand that is they run by sense knowledge, whatever's around them, the senses. That's how they operate. Understand, their spirit can't minister any life to them. They don't have any life in their spirit. Their nature is sin. And sin is death. And so they're living, sense knowledge is the only way they can go. They can't go some other way. They're listening to their heart. It sure ain't going to get any better. But sense knowledge dominates and rules out of their senses. And so... So it said in Romans 8:8, it said then those who are in the flesh, they can't please God. So these people, they can't walk by faith. They can't walk by faith in God, so they can't please God. And so looking at them in this condition and seeing that their need, and that's why we don't preach and tell people concerning dealing with sin and the sin nature, because we want to, we're upset at them or mad about them or just trying to aggravate them. We're telling them for a purpose. And this one thing is, you know, you preach the gospel to them, it's in love. And they, you know, if people don't like it, that's their problem. We have to preach the gospel to them. But we need to understand, this is one of the things that I think is one of the great problems, is today the messages and stuff that are preached, I think are, because they're not true lots of times to the sinner. They're trying to make the sinner feel comfortable and feel good, and really they're preaching lies. It just aggravates everything. So the person can't come to the knowledge of salvation. And what happens is, you know, you get a sinner and you make him feel he's okay in the conditions in. Don't be surprised. He's going to be very hard to reach from now on. This is one thing, as I found out, you know, is religious people. If you go among groups, like I know, I found this out, like I say, dealing with Catholics, you know, people who are very ingrained in a religion, and they're taught that they're okay. They're taught, you know, they belong to they're in the Catholic Church. You went through the catechisms and all that kind of stuff. You did all those things. And man, they're set in that fight, that way. And you know, you preach to them the gospel, and it's hard for them to, lots of them to accept it. The ones that are very ingrained in it. It can be very hard for them to accept things because they're ingrained that they're all right. I'm okay. And so you'll find that. Look at Jesus' day. Who is hard for him to reach? It's religious people. His number one thing is the more a person gets ingrained to something, I found this over the years, it's very, it's hard for them to admit they're wrong. It's very difficult for them. And even if they start to believe some things and they have to admit that they've been wrong, that gets very hard for people to do. I you know, it's one of the things is you have to come to the place. Pride is a really tough thing. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling a story. He went to a church to minister. God told him to go to this one church. And this pastor asked him to come to this church and minister. And Brother Hagin said, this church, he said, wasn't the kind of church that I like to minister in. He said, they didn't flow. He said, in the same direction, you know, that we minister. But he said, the Lord said I was supposed to go there. So he said, I went to the church, and he said, we did 3 weeks of meetings. They did 3 weeks. Brother Hagin would never take meetings less than 3 weeks at a church. And so what they would do is they would teach, like at nighttime, they would have more toward like probably more toward the Holy Spirit type meetings and healing and stuff. But they would do morning messages. Brother Hagin always did that. He always had teaching on faith. And so is... because he said, if you could get, the Lord told him, if you get people to come to listen, that'll come to listen to the teachings on faith, he said, you'll have more manifestations of the Spirit, more people will get healed and delivered in the meetings at night, if they'll come and listen to those things. But anyhow, he went there and he said the Lord didn't tell him, but he said, he just knew this after being there a little bit, a few days, this pastor's gonna die. He's 47 years old. He's gonna die. He said, I knew he's going to die. And he went to the Lord about it. He said he picked it up, and he said he went to the Lord then about it. He said, Lord, about this guy's going to die. He said, what's going on? The Lord said, I sent you here. He said, if he'll come to the morning meetings, he said, I want him to come to the morning meetings and listen. And he said, he won't die if he'll come and listen. Well, Brother Hagin said he never came to any morning meetings. Said he never came to not one of them, not a one morning meeting. Said he was always too busy doing stuff and things. And he said, the guy invited me there and didn't come. And he said, you know, he said, I wonder what was going on. And he said, his wife came and said to Brother Hagin after a couple of weeks, came and talked to him. And somehow they got talking and she made mention. She said, you know that my husband's going to die. She knew it. She picked it up. Well, it was in the third week, and this guy still was coming. And Brother Hagin said they had went out to eat the one day together, and he said he just got blunt with the guy and told the guys. He said, don't you know you're going to die? And the guy looked at him and said, yeah, I know I'm going to die. I know. Well, he said, why don't you come to the morning meetings? He said, if I came and I listened, which he understood what Brother Hagin was teaching, he said, He said, I'll have to admit to my congregation I've been wrong. And he said, I ain't doing that. And the Lord said to Brother Hagin, told him, he said, next Sunday morning he'll drop dead in his pulpit. And he said he did. He fell dead in his pulpit. That's, we think, you know, that there sounds hard, but you know what? I've met people already, and I tell you, they know they're wrong. They know it, and they are not, you know. There's people that they'd have rather have a rock fall out of outer space and hit them in the head and kill them than admit they're wrong. And they know they're wrong. And, you know, this is why, is one of the things I've learned over the years of ministry-wise. I know in some, you just can't say anything all the time, but you know, sometimes people die prematurely, things happen, and people, I don't understand why. There's a lot of things about people you don't know. And see, people get questioning about God and say, well, you know, and that's where people come along and say, well, healing must, that preacher died, and you know, so that, you know, must be God, not be God's will. Well, they don't know. God was trying to get this guy delivered and he didn't want it. And see, people don't see that, know those things. And lots of things happen like that. Lots of times stuff happens like that. There's reasons why people, and over time there's times of things that I know about people, and it just, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't do a thing about it. What you do is you try to teach people, but you can't make people. You can't make people do things, you know. And I've had the Lord tell me on different occasions concerning people who prayed about situations, and the Lord tell me, you can't do anything about that. They know. See, we assume people don't. We assume people don't know things. And it's amazing what people do know. And how many times people know about things that concern themselves that are wrong, and they're not going to change it. They're not going to. Now, to us, that might seem like weird to us. Like if I knew, I'd say, well, I'm going to go to those meetings and sit down and listen to that stuff. But, you know, it's hard for you to believe that somebody is that way. It's just, I don't want to admit I'm wrong. It's number one, he probably became really, you know, over the years of stubbornness of things. And, you know, he had cultivated that till it became a, you know, he became really good at just not changing. But eventually what will happen is because of that stubbornness, the Lord turned him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So he died. See, God wanted to change things around, but he keeps going in a direction where he won't judge himself, so he gets judged. So we don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to go that place. But anyhow, that's hard. These things are hard to see. You know, we too is need to understand reaching out to the lost. I remember one guy who was from Tower City. We had a guy, Reese's, he wasn't born again. But different times, you know, was another guy I worked with had witnessed to him, and I had talked to him and that stuff. And he told us one day, he said, yeah, he knows he ought to accept Jesus. But he said, I like my life the way that it is. And he said, you know, so we have the idea that people don't. Sometimes people know. People are going to, you know, it's just like with him. If there's nothing changed, he knows what he needs to do. So it isn't a matter of, you know, that he knows in his heart what he's supposed to be doing, but he has made a decision that he's not going to do that. Well, you can't do anything about that. That's his right of his decision. God can't force him into anything. And so we assume sometimes, well, I've heard ministers say, well, if people knew the truth, they'd accept Jesus. I've heard ministers say that down there. I thought, wake up, space to get. You wouldn't believe how many people know the truth and refuse it. Think about this. Is hell full of people that don't know the truth? But you know what? A lot of Christians must believe they are or something. I don't know. Because the ministers, I mean, they preach, they say, well, you know, people really knew. Hold it. You know, is God just throwing people off into hell with that? And so there's things that people know. It's one of the things we want to preach the truth. We want to tell people their need for salvation and let them know the mercy and the kindness of God to redeem them. Amen. Now, there's a couple scriptures I want to go through here concerning this natural man that we didn't read last week. I want to look at Ephesians, read some things from Ephesians in the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, some things that are said here that give us our condition, but also the picture of the natural man. In Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 1 says, "In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." So you've been made alive. So they, he said, you were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. So really the natural man, that's his condition. He's dead in trespasses and sin. That's his spiritual condition. Now it says in verse 2, talking about this, when we were in this condition, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's where Paul writes here, and he says, really, the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. And he says here that they're sons of disobedience. So, and that, you know, that's what we were. We were sons of disobedience. That's the sinner is our sons of disobedience. Their father was a disobedient one, and they have the same nature. And so that's the same nature that we had. I mean, that was our condition. And praise God. God saved us. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were children of wrath. See, we were destined the wrath of God. And, you know, this is one thing it's people just don't understand today because of false love that's preached. Well, God loves everybody, so if God loves everybody, you know, we're just, he'll just tolerate and put up with everything. The person who isn't saved, God's going to pour his wrath out on them. The lake of fire is going to be the wrath of God for eternity on the people who are in the lake of fire. Wrath is uncontrolled anger. Now, Jesus Christ died for every person. Nobody has to face the wrath of God, but they have to receive Christ. If they don't, if people don't see that, and that's what we need. God's love. But his love, you know, and God's full of mercy. I mean, boy, God's been merciful. He's been long-suffering with people. But we need to understand this, is the sinner will face the wrath of God. And thank God we got saved. We're no longer under the wrath of God. We're not, thank God. I don't want to face the wrath of God, my words. You know, I can't imagine God's uncontrolled anger. I mean, I read in the scriptures things that happened with people, and it's like, that was controlled. I don't want to be on the uncontrolled side. But, so we don't face that, but that's what we were. Now, God isn't, it isn't that God wants to do that. But understand that this, God's righteous and just. He cannot let sin go unpunished. He cannot, or he's not righteous or just. See, it's like today we do this thing and we give this false thing. It's like rewarding everybody the same whether they do well or not. That's unrighteous. That's unrighteous. That's fleshly. That's the lusts of the flesh in operation to do those kinds of things. Why? Because that's not righteous. It's not, there's no way. God never gives the unjust what he gives the just. That wouldn't be right. You know, that's like going to work. You go to work every day and a guy don't show up half the time and you both get the same paycheck. Now, do you feel like showing up for work again? What is the point of it? What's the point of doing good? There wouldn't be any point to it, would it? No. But see, people, today we're teaching people, you do what you want, you do, and you get the same. Everybody gets the same. So that's why socialism is so evil. Its foundation is demonic, and its belief. Trying to give everybody the same stuff. You know? I always find the thing, even in the areas, you know, looking at healthcare and stuff like that, you know, you get people who, the person who does something about trying to take care of their own health, they pay for the person who don't give a rip. We pay higher rates for the guy who don't care. I remember one time with Wanda's mom years ago was in the hospital, and there was a woman in the bed beside her in the same room. There's two of them in the same room. And the woman beside her, she was on welfare. She weighed about 410 pounds or so. She was a diabetic. She was in there because she wasn't getting blood flow to her legs. They were talking about removing one of her legs. And she's in here in this thing, and all she does the whole time, I got to get out. I need to go home. I need a beer. I just, yeah, the whole time. And I was thinking the whole time, we're taking tax dollars, fighting to keep her alive while she tries to kill herself. We're just dumping money down the toilet. You might as well just take the money, you know, throw it down the toilet and flush it, because it's going nowhere. She has no interest in doing what's right. She had the whole time, anything that was wrong to do, she was doing it. She was after doing it, and she wasn't taking care of herself. She had no, it's like, oh. But see, people did, they don't realize. So when we turn around and take those people, we got to take care of them. But everybody else pays for it. Everybody works and does right, pays for it. We have a really weird system, you know. We don't demand anything of a person. You just give it to them. We don't demand anything. We don't make them do anything. Just like with her. She needed somebody to demand her something. That's what she needed. She needed somebody to say, hey, hold it. We spend a nickel on you will stop this, you will do this, you will do that. Tell her what she's going to do. You don't do it. We'll just make a huge box for you, and we can dump you in it, and that's where you're going. But see, nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever told her she was ever responsible. No. No. We're just going to keep throwing the money out to her, throwing the money out to her, throwing the money out to her and that stuff. Is number one. I mean, she had money for beer. Ay, ay, ay. The condition of people. It's like with her, her condition. She's living in the lust of the flesh and that stuff. And really, we look across our nation, that's the way our whole nation is being run off of that system. It's being run off of that system. That system dominates and rules. And so we can surely see that. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I want to read scriptures here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind. So see, as the Gentiles, speaking of the Gentiles, this would be, this term also is translated heathen, which it is. The Gentiles with the heathen, they're separated from God. So he says, like the rest of the Gentiles, that's when these Gentiles who got saved, the rest of the Gentiles, he's telling them how they walk. The rest of the Gentiles, so we're not supposed to walk like the heathen walks, or like the rest of the Gentiles out here who are not saved. You don't walk and live. He says, having what their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. See, the heart, remember we've read before, yeah, last week, on the scriptures. They can't see and understand. Their hearts are blind to truth. Their hearts are blind. New Testament says about Satan, he's God of this world. He blinds the minds of those that they might, you know, come to the light of the truth. So he blinds them. They're blinded because of their darkness, their nature, their whole nature is wrong. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to walk, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul was a mean man. He was an ugly guy. Now, yeah, I'm going to tell you what, Paul would not be accepted in churches today. He wouldn't be accepted in a lot of spirit-filled churches. They would never let him in. This isn't a positive message. You wouldn't preach that in these churches, because a seeker-friendly church, you don't want you saying none of this. Because the pastor would be uncomfortable. Because he's living this way. So, but that's the natural man's life, you know. Well, you know, these people, is you know, there's one thing as it is. When I got born again, I really, you know, God dealt with me about a lot of things. I really got to see the condition that I was, you know. I didn't like what I saw about myself, what I was. And God really dealt with me about that. And it's one of the things, this is why I think a lot of people don't change. They will never allow God to ever speak to them, and they don't like it preached to them about their true condition. You know, because when you look at your true condition, it makes you uncomfortable. But it's good, because if you get uncomfortable enough, you just may change. You just might decide to, you know, you see your need for change. And there's no, if you think you're all right, you're not going to change. If you think you're okay the way you are, there's not going to be any change. It'll never happen. And so your need for change, and God doesn't do this or reveal these things to us to try to embarrass us or, you know, anything like that. But our need for change, we can see what our condition is, because that condition's killing us. One of the reasons there's so much sickness and disease in the church today, church world today, is because of this. Is because the condition of people, they can't get healed because of their condition. If they don't make changes, they can't get healed. It ain't happening. People need to see that. I don't care how much you stand and confess and say such. If your life is lived wrong, the devil has access. And you can't stop it by a confession. You can't stop. Your actions are going to turn. You've got to get in line to do what's right. You have to do that. You know, you can't walk around in unforgiveness. You can't walk around in junk. You know, it's one of the things is like we deal with today is, you know, and you know, I've seen this among people. They, you know, say, well, I'm a Christian, but they don't ever go around teaching. They don't go to church. They don't go anything. They never learn anything. And all they just have messed up lives. They just, you know, things that they have, the same stuff goes on in them as in the world. It goes on. If they don't make changes, they can sit around and do all the confession that they want. They can say they believe in those things. But you can't, you're not going to continue. God may be merciful for a while and let you get away with something. But you're not going to do it. You're going to have to make changes. I know over the years I've had, you know, a couple of times where people came to me, a person who went to our church years ago came to me one time and said, they wanted to know why. They said, when I first came into the kingdom, you know, I got healed, but I just don't get healed anymore. And, well, I knew why they didn't get healed anymore, and they weren't going to, because they wouldn't change. See, they got healed by other people's faith when they came into the kingdom. They were a baby, you know, just like that baby there. You know, we don't expect that baby to go get the bottle itself and go do the thing. We take it, we give it to them and that stuff. Well, a true baby, you take care of. And that's what God was doing, and other people could use their faith. But, you know, now they've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and they haven't grown, and they expect to get healed and everything. And they say, I don't understand. And I didn't bother saying nothing to them. I thought, you don't get it. You ain't changed. You haven't developed at all. And you're sitting around saying, I don't know why I don't get healed. Is this, I know. You've been sitting in this church and the preaching you've been hearing, and you ain't figured. They're not even listening. They don't even pay attention. We think people sit, but just because they sit someplace, they hear it. Loads of people, their hearts are closed. They ain't listening to nothing. They're going to do what they did before. They're going to do that. And so you can't make people listen. The only thing is, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, well, maybe if you can keep them there long enough, you might be able to get something across to them that they'll listen to. Maybe you can. But he said some people will go a whole lifetime and never change. And they'll sit around and say, I don't understand why I can't get healed. Well, God ain't holding out. But they would never stop. They would never think, is there something wrong with me? Let me think about it. I don't understand why this don't work. Like, what do you want, somebody to wave a wand or something? Wouldn't you think, gee, what's wrong with me? I mean, to me, I would be the first thing, what do I need to do? This ain't working. What's going on? What do I need to do? That hadn't even entered their minds. That don't even enter their minds. No, it's probably you're messed up. That's why they're having problems. You know, you get straightened out, they get straightened out. They're just Kenneth Hagin said they used to do before. They used to, a lot of churches, they would vote pastors in and that stuff. And they said, you got to get the people who wouldn't grow up spiritually. They'd say, you know, because they'd start off in a church and they'd be there. They'd get healed and things at first, but after years and years, they wouldn't. And they'd say, see, pastor can't pray the prayer of faith anymore. He don't have any faith, so we need to get rid of him and get a new pastor. And they think getting a new pastor was going to get him healed. They'd vote him out, get a new pastor, and they still didn't get healed. He said they never catch on either. They never catch on to it. They'll just try another minister. They're just looking for somebody that can turn around. I can just live the same way. I can just do the same stuff, and it's just all going to be all right. I can get it fixed, and they never rock at it. So, praise God. We're not going to stay there. I don't know why. When I first got saved, I just figured there's things that I need to do. I just figured there's things that I'm going to have to do. I mean, I understand. I want to find out what God does. But my big thing is this. I most of all need to know what I need to do. You know, it doesn't matter what God needs to do. My job is to do my part. If I do my part, his part, you know, he'll do it. He always does. It's finding out what I'm supposed to do and then do that. You know, the conclusion of the natural man is just this. The natural man, he's not born again. He belongs to Satan. He can't please God. He can't obey God. He can't understand God. Gee, that's where we were. And every one of us, we're in that same condition before we were born again. Every person needs a Savior, and there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. So we must convey the truth to unbelievers of their true nature. You've got to convey that to them, what their true nature is, the condition. They're not basically nice people who have just grown up in a wrong environment. This is the most of the psychology of the church today is why people don't get saved. We have this basically, we do it psychologically, you know. Well, you know, you're born in a bad situation, therefore that justifies what you are. See, to me, one of the whole things was to find out what God would do that I could change, that I could be something different than I was. Psychology is the blame game. Somebody else is my problem, you know. My parents did something. You know, it's one of the most wonderful things is God, when I got started off, he would not let me blame anybody for anything. I learned. You know, I'll never forget when I heard Kenneth Hagin preach. You know, I was just born again. I had just gotten born again. I'll never forget this on the tape. And he said, if you don't like the way your life is, he said, it's your problem. You made it the way it is. I thought, wow. Well, you know, but you know what? You're an adult. You have no right to sit and blame what your parents did. Now you have the right to make a decisions in your life. And if you're not changing it, you're the problem, not them. And when that there dawned on me, you know what? Don't matter what my parents did. Don't matter what. I have the say now. So if it ain't working, I can complain it's what somebody else did. Now it's me. I'll tell you what, that was a freeing thing to me. Because when I finally found out, you know, hey, hold it. Because see, people will hold you, all you think like that, that holds you in bondage. You'll never go any further than that. You'll forget it. Yeah, I don't care what they did or how mean they were and what they did. You know? You can change that right now. You can change what your life, what you are. You know? If they're weird and mean, you don't have to go hang around them. You don't have to. Your mama was just downright mean. You don't have to visit her Mother's Day. Send her a card and say, I love you, mama, at a distance. You know? Well, you know, you got to be smart as a drunkard. You know, I got saved. I didn't go try to hang out in bars. You know? See, Jesus set me free, but I had enough sense to know I don't want tempted. And the stuff, like to me now, I can go down and sit down in a place, don't bother me in the least. When you're first starting off, it's not the thing to do. Most people are like the dog that returns to their vomit and end up in the same mess they were in before. Sometimes the people, you got to stay away from them for a while till you get yourself in a position where you can ignore their stupidity and ignorance. Because if you don't, they'll have an effect on you. And when they find out, the devil works through them and finds out that he can use them to mess you up. You're getting messed up. You're going to be really messed up. Because the devil will play that game. He'll do those things. You got to come to the place where you have to learn what you can handle and when you can handle. Be smart enough to do that. To know what you can do and can't do. And be around. Don't matter what other Christians get around do. You learn to protect yourself. You know, it's growing up. You know, with our kids. I mean, our kids are first growing up. There's things we can handle, but our kids couldn't handle. And so you don't put them in that situation. A lot of Christians are just downright stupid. They'll go get in situations that are downright stupid. You know, they want to act like they're some kind of big spiritual giant, and they aren't. You got to learn what you are. You got to learn what you can handle and what you can't. And you learn those things, you'll have a chance. You'll live till the next day. I'm going to tell you, there's Christians who are dead because of that stuff. They don't live out their full life because of their stupidity. They open the door and the devil gets in and takes advantage because they don't protect themselves. It's learn to do that. You know, learn to protect. It isn't a matter you don't love. It's about you got to protect yourself. You have to do that. And so if you can't take it around something, you know, stay out of it. You know, there's people I learned first, you know, I just need to stay clear of. There's Christians I needed to stay clear of because they were just not good to be around. You know, they're God's kids, but, you know, you can love them at a distance. Say, man, I can't get around because of the stuff they do. I can't be involved in, I can't do things that I can't, you know, handle or be around. And learn that about yourself because of its influence on you. So you don't want things, you want to keep yourself, especially in areas of protecting yourself for your own spiritual development so you can grow up, hallelujah, over time. And so it's like one of the things that I found out, like, you know, certain ones, you know, even my own family, I learned when I started out, wasn't good to be around them. So, you know, if I was, you know, you had a family get together, I would go to a family get together, but you didn't want to, I wouldn't go to their house just to visit them. didn't want to do that. And, you know, some people have a bad influence on you. They'll get you over into things and talking about stuff that you just don't want to be into or do and get involved in about things. And you have to learn that about yourself and that stuff. There's just some people you just can't do that. And, is a big, best thing to do is they start doing that, get over and talk about God. They won't want to talk to you anymore. That'll end it. That'll get them quiet real quick. We're going to start in just a little part of it here. We're going to look at, we're going to talk about what we call the carnal man, the Bible. We talk about the carnal Christian and understand the scriptures talk about the carnal man. And the carnal man is a person who is born again. But now understand this. The carnal man in Scripture is not a baby Christian. Babies are not considered for the stand. Now, a baby, a true baby, is carnal. I mean, you just take that cute little thing right there. But you know, that cute little thing here operates completely by the senses. Do you know that? It operates completely by the senses. You know, his belly's full, it said everything good. Oh, we're sawing off the Z's, we're having nice. Any little discomfort, you will know it. But that's baby, and that is normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the Bible talks about the carnal man, and the carnal man is a Christian who lives by the senses. The carnal man is a Christian who lives by their senses. They don't grow up. They haven't grown up. This is a person who has been a Christian for a while. This is not a person who has just become a Christian. I would expect somebody who first gets born again, they're going to do some carnal things. They're going to do this, you know, they're going to be learning. So this is a new experience and that stuff. But people who have been born again for some time and have not developed, you know, with me, it's not hard for me to tolerate somebody being around who's a baby Christian. That just, you know, you just expect, you know, that doesn't. But I hate the 40-year-old babies. I just are hard to put up with. The 40-year-old baby, they're just whining about it. Everything, you know, it's just nothing. They're just living carnal and doing it. They're hard to put up with. They are. People like that, you gotta really walk in love. And the ones that tell you, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and say, well, you did it very well. You've done a good job of hiding it. Done a great job. It's amazing. This is high spy or something, you know. You must be a CIA agent. You really did this thing good. Nobody knows. There's the scriptures we used before talking about carnality at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And understand this, Paul's writing in the church at Corinth about their carnality. And this is interesting because we need to understand this. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about carnality and things, he's writing to a church that these people have been saved a while. They had not just gotten saved. These are people been saved for a while because the things that he said to them, you wouldn't expect of a baby, he's making statements. It's just like that baby. I mean, we turn around, you feed that baby. That baby has to go through some natural growth, a growth and development, for it to be able to be responsible for things. It takes time, and it would not be, expecting that child to be doing things on its own, just handling everything within the next 9 months. It ought to just be doing it. Well, you'd think you're pretty much insane to think that, and. But these churches, for Paul to write this, Paul can't be demanding of these people. It would be wrong for Paul to demand things what he has demanded from the church at Corinth if these people had not had been born again for a while. Because it wouldn't be right to expect of them to be as something that they couldn't be. So, but we're going to find that some things about them is the carnal person. And this can help you if what Paul says about getting a person out of carnality. When you have Christians are the carnal, the things that you can do is the carnal man here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. In verse 1 it says, "And I, brethren," he said, "I couldn't speak to you as being spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ." So he said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual. I got to talk to you as carnal, as fleshly, as babes in Christ. But we know this from Paul. Paul expected to be able to talk to them as spiritual. He expected to. So they had been around the block a while. So, but they hadn't developed. They hadn't grown. And he said, "I fed you with milk," and he said, "not with solid food." For he says, "Until now, you were not able to receive it." And he said, "And even now, you're still not able." He said, "For you're still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So, carnal, fleshly, sense-led person, this man is not spiritual. So the carnal man is a baby in Christ from the standpoint as a baby is acting like a baby. They're acting like a baby. They're not spiritually a baby, but they're acting like a baby. The carnal man, they're not new Christians. So the carnal man is a Christian who hasn't grown up. And we find out here, he tells us this is in one area that you can tell of the signs of carnality is envy, strife, and division. So you can always tell this. I always like people, say about, I've heard people say, people will call our church and they'll ask because they want you to do something for them. And I'll ask them, because the first thing I ask a person is, "Where do you go to church?" Because the first thing on the list is when they call a church, they'll tell you, "I'm a Christian." "Oh, you're a Christian. Where do you go to church?" And they always said, "Well, I haven't found a church that I really like." "Well, why'd you call me? You sure you like me? Or you just want my money? Is that what you call it?" I talk blunt to people. I don't, when they're lying to me, I always I put them on the spot. I do. I put them on the spot. And I said, you haven't found a church you like. And so this is what I know. I know if they are a Christian, they're a big baby. And they're in division. In other words, they're looking for something that suits them and nobody else suits them. You might as well get over it. You'll never find a church. Impossible that everybody's gonna be a thing. It's like Brother Hagin used to always say, is number one, you can't find where everybody's gonna, get along because you're there. And it's people. People's personalities are different. People, and this is just the way that it is. But is the fact is if people stay away from the body of Christ, you'll find those people never stay away from their sinner friends. I always find that really interesting. And they're fighting with them half the time too, but you can't hang out. See, they're following the devil, and the devil will get you so messed up. But they don't. They're divisive, and that's what they do. There's division, and that's what the devil will get in you. He don't want you to like the rest of the body of Christ. He wants to keep you outside the body of Christ. He wants you out there because you become a target all the time to him that he can do what he wants. And I've never seen people, you know, they stay out of the body of Christ. It works well for them. It never does. They always become targets for the devil. And people don't understand that the protection there is concerning the body and being part of the body. You want to do that. And people don't. And the effect it has on them by not doing it. The carnal man is a Christian, but he acts like the natural man. Sometimes it can be very hard to tell. Sometimes some Christians are very hard to tell. And I'll tell you what, there's some that I've asked the Lord, really, is this person saved or not? Yeah, are they? You know, because some people get in their mind that they're saved and they're not a Christian. They're not born again. They've just some religious things and they are Christian. But I said, Lord, man, I have no way of telling unless there is no way to tell. I mean, I don't see anything about their life that looks anything. And sometimes you'll end up getting a shock, you know, you find out. It's one of the things is Wanda's grandfather is like, I never knew that Wanda's grandfather was, on her mom's side, was ever a Christian. I never knew it. And, he ended up in the hospital. He'd gotten up in years and he was ended up in the hospital. And so I went in to visit him. I went in, when nobody else was around, I wanted to sit down and talk with him. So I sat down and I talked with him. I started, and then I just talked to him about Christ. And it was really, it quite shocked me because when I sat down and I started sharing with him about Christ, Jesus, he talked about when he was a younger man, him and his wife, they lived up in South Dakota. They lived out in they had a farm out there. In fact, we went up to visit, even in these days, that's out in the middle of nowhere, ain't it? Boy, it's out there. I mean, the town there is little town. Probably not much bigger now than what it was in those days and that stuff, the town that was there. And so, but we visited there and he said to me, there was a revival that went on and we went to the revival, he said, and we went to the altar and accepted Christ. And when he's talked about this, I mean, he just lit up. He lit up. Probably the first time he had talked out of his heart for years. Probably hadn't done that in 30, 40 years. Hadn't talked out of his heart. And he got over talking about this, and I thought, he got turned, I thought, and I knew, this man got saved. But you know, God answered a question for me, because after I left, I realized, you know, he was saved, but he had not walked with God. He hadn't followed God. He didn't walk in light of it. He may have some years, maybe had done, but as long as I've known him, and I guess as long as you've known him, he never walked, they never walked in light of it. And I asked the Lord about this and not walking in light. And the Lord said, you see how his life's been all messed up? He said, that's what happens when you accept me and don't walk with me. That's the way it turns out. See, a lot of people don't know that. This happens sometimes in people's life. And when people say, they don't know the person's a Christian. Why does it happen that way? You don't walk with God, you become a target with the devil. And your life will turn out bad. Just like with him. His life turned out really sour. And things didn't go well at all. God had mercy, but not because of him, because after he got out of the hospital from there, he was out for a while, but then he had ended up back in, and he was dying, and they had him in a nursing home, and we went. And we went up to see him in a nursing home. They said he was dying. He wouldn't make it through the night. This is one of the things that you want to walk with God. You know, you want to learn. This is one of the things is a lot of people... God will do things for you because it's you. Because if you walk right, he'll do and honor you about things. And Wanda and I went up, and there was other family and stuff there. And it was you wouldn't have tried to minister there at all. I mean, there was death. I mean, the spirit of death was in the place. You walked inside, and I'm going to tell you what. I mean, it was like walking into dead. I mean, it was, and man, I mean, it was strong in the place. And it was like, and I said to Wanda, I said, we got to get out of here. I said, there's death in this place. I said, it ain't. And the people, and they're all talking death. You know, it's one of the things it is, you know. They said they weren't going to live, so everybody joins in confessing with it. Believers, too. They just join right into it. But anyhow, Wanda and I, we left, and we were driving out. And I'll never forget, because we were driving out through the Colebrook Road there, near Fry's there, coming into Colebrook Road. In fact, we were coming up through now where that road turns across, it goes out, comes over and hooks on to 72. And we were going in through, and I'll never forget going in through. I just inside of me, I said, God, I said, this is a mess. I said, Wanda's grandpa and all the mess in the family, and they've had a mess in the family. There's a bunch of fussing because his one daughter ripped him off and that stuff of money. She was keeping him, but she was ripping him off and stuff they were doing. And then wouldn't one of their family members see him and doing, there's all kind of things were going on. And I said, this is my wife's grandfather. And I said, Lord, I hate seeing this for her sake to have to see it ending like this. It's a mess, you know? And I'm just talking to the Lord out of my heart to him, and I'm just talking to him about this mess, and I said, it had to do with my wife. You know, I wasn't saying it for grandpa's sake or nothing, but I felt bad for Wanda, you know, her family. And I'll never forget, it was before we got to Fry's. We're down, we come around a turn, and Fry's place there, and the Lord said, you go back and lay hands on him, and I'll raise him up and make his last days better than his first. And he said, I'm not doing this for him. He said, I'm doing this for you because you asked me. I've had more than one occasion God did that because I asked him. And he ain't special ed. Anybody can be special. If you turn, you walk with God, he'll do things for you because you ask. And, you know, it is... And I didn't ask for my sake. I was just asking for Wanda's sake. And what, he lived about 5 more years after that. He lived out about 5 more years from that. And God raised him up. And his flaky daughter went off with somebody else. And then the rest of the family got to see him and stuff and things. And, you know, it turned out a whole lot better. Turned out a whole lot better than it was. Well, and you know, that there's, you get around. See, you had carnal Christians and stuff. It's in a bunch here. You get things going on. He got blessed, but he got blessed not because of him. The Lord said, he ain't doing it for him. In fact, he said to me, he said, he has no right to ask me for anything. That's what he said. He has no right to ask me for anything. See, we don't like to think about that. We think, well, I tell people, you know, I have my one brother, and he's always telling everybody, sinner, saint, or whatever. Well, just pray. You know, a lot of people go and pray and ain't getting nothing. You don't just pray. I don't mean you're going to get something just because you pray. You might have to straighten out and then pray. You may have to do that. There's one thing is I've learned this. I know I've learned how to pray to get straightened out. And then you go start asking for stuff. But if you ain't straightening out, you can be wasting your time praying. You'd be wasting your time. And, you know, just like from his standpoint of walking all those years and not walking in the light, the Lord said, he has no right to ask me for anything. God, I don't want to go there. See, and that's why you want to preach the truth to people. You want to tell people the truth of things, the way it really works. I want to see people blessed. You know, too many people today, they think, well, you know, I can just do whatever and you know, it'll work out, you know, and somehow, you know, God will do something. And it don't, things don't work well. So we want to stay in the truth. So we have to grow out as Christians have to, the carnal Christian lives in the areas really of just like the unsaved person, is selfishness. They're very sensitive. They can be hurt easily. You know, it's one of the things that I learned especially is dealing in the areas of not holding animosity and stuff. That's things that you really have to be careful about. One of the things that we have made so much ministry to what we call hurting Christians. And loads of the so-called hurting Christians, they're people who haven't forgiven people. They don't need a ministry to them. They need to be told, somebody did something to you, you need to forgive it. You don't need somebody patting and praying for you, oh, you poor thing. Because you know what? There's always going to be somebody that did something. You can't live in that little sensitive world. You can't go to that place. If you do, you will always stay a baby. And you'll be in a place where your prayers won't get answered. It's interesting. Jesus said after Mark 11:25, he said, if you come, you have aught against anybody, you go fix it before you come back asking for something. You get yourself straight before you go asking. And see, people need, as one minister I heard say about the fact, they said one of the biggest problems we have in the church world today is the hurting Christian. He said, they're messing the church up like crazy. You know, I went over here and they did this or that. Get over it. Somebody does something. It's life. Loads of times I find out the thing the person's hurt over somebody did. Nobody did anything intentional to them. It's they're so sensitive and selfish and self-centered, they just take everything personally that, you know, somebody's trying to get them. And I found out about a lot of the hurting people. They're people who cannot be corrected. They're upset. You try to correct them, they're the biggest babies about. They'll hold their breath, roll on the floor, kick their feet, carry on and that stuff. Go to the next church and take that junk. I had to throw people out of our church because of that. Came from a church we were in, and they brought that junk over because in really the pastor was the things that he did. But you can't, you got to forgive it and shut up. And they come over talking to other people about that they're here, well, because over there they're doing this. And I took them aside and I said, if you can't keep your mouth shut about this, I don't want you here. If you're so spiritual and he's so bad and you know more than him, then you should be the guy forgiven. But you bring that here, then that festers here. Because that's what happened in that church. They never stopped. They were upset at the church they were in, and they started a new church, and all they did was complain about what that other minister did. And you know what? Their pastor became exactly like that guy, complaining what the other guy did. And then he became the guy, and it just, see, that spirit dominated in that church. It ruled in that church. A lot of unforgiveness. Why? Because it passed down through the people who started the church. They wouldn't forgive. They wouldn't say, nah, hey, just say, I hope the guy gets straightened out. Not you know, around, oh, look what they did, or they did this or that, or they did that, or they did this. I never told people the stuff that they did to me when I turned around and left that church and the stuff they did. And it ain't... Because what is it going to do any good? It ain't going to do me any good. I'm not carrying that. I feel so bad for them because it did nothing but hurt them. It did nothing but hurt that church. It did nothing but hurt that pastor. You know, guy turned around and ended up getting some years to go. He got picked up for drunken driving. And it's like, my God. See, you get that stuff and you carry things and you do it. It eats your life up. You know what I mean? He was a guy with a great testimony of what God did for him, saving him and stuff. But getting over there not dealing with that stuff, end up in the same mess that you came out of. And see, none of that's any good. We don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to live there in that stuff. That's why you learn to forgive. Somebody does something, we forgive. It doesn't matter. And Randy Greer says this, you have intention, you're going to do something to me, I just want to let you know ahead of time, you're already forgiven. I already forgive you. If you so, that's a good attitude to have. I already forgive you. I ain't going to carry nothing. Why? It just isn't. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. I've watched people that do that. I've watched people who, over the years, you get around and like some family members and different ones. They could sit around and every once in a while they'll bring up something somebody did 50 years ago. And every so often they bring it up. You hear them talk. Something that somebody did. They're still eating at them. They have never forgiven. And you know what? You find, I would watch this because I think about it. There's always areas in their life that they got problems that can't get fixed. And you know why. And I'm going to tell you this. There's never one of them that don't have health problems. Never one. You'll never find out a person who don't forgive who isn't going to have health problems. They will. They're going to die with major health problems. They're going to die that way. It ain't going to be pretty. They ain't going to have a nice laugh at the end and that stuff. It ain't happening. They're going to have lots of medical problems. That's why you got to get, you can't carry that stuff. Don't do it. Don't kill yourself because something somebody else did. I don't care if they're wrong and how mean they were. Don't let them kill you. Don't let them make you sick. Don't allow that to happen. Hold it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. That's why one of the things that I found out is just like in October, when I ended up in the hospital, the first thing I wanted to find out was, if I missed it anywhere, I wanted to know it. And that's the first thing I wanted to find out from the Lord. And I'd ask him what was going on, what was happening, because if I miss it, I want to correct it. I don't want to let something go and go by. And I just said, ask the Lord, what's going on? I want to know if I've done anything and I need to correct, well, then I will correct that thing. And he said, no, don't worry about anything. He said, everything's fine. You're going to be all right. I'm like, well, I'm in line. So my faith will work. My faith will work. You want to find that out. You don't want to have obstacles to your faith. And see, lots of times people don't do it. Is there a cause? You know, there's one thing to be attacked, but there's one thing you can bring your own attack on. You don't want to do that. You know, and if you do, find out what it is, just repent. Praise God. That's the nice part about it. You can repent and turn from it. God will heal you on credit. you can get, and it's finding out. But if there's something, you open the door, you want to close that because you want things to work. You know, you don't want things that leave the door open to the devil to come in and attack you and do things. And really, from the church world, has a lot of that right now. Things are not being dealt with. I feel bad for a lot of Christians because they're not taught at all about it. They're not even told it's true. They'll just, you know, they're not even told what to do anymore. You know, they're just out here basically on their own, and God loves you and everything's wonderful and everything's nice, and ain't nothing nice and wonderful. It's like, or isn't, I'm going to tell you, people, a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people are suffering out here. Loads of people suffer. And I don't like to suffer, and I don't like seeing other people suffer either. Hallelujah. And we can live lives. Hallelujah. The grace of God's big, and it can work in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom and understanding. Father, I thank you for showing us these things and teaching us these things. Lord God, it's because your great love for us. Lord, your great desires for us to be blessed. And Lord God, Lord, the blessed people can bless others. The people that aren't blessed, they can't bless others, Lord God. They can't give what they don't have. And Lord God, we want to be able, Lord, we want to pass on this wonderful life that works in us. Ah, Lord God, I am just so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you put things in us, Lord God, we can pass on and be a blessing to others with. Hallelujah. But Lord God, we desire more. We desire more. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we want to know. We want to walk before you, Lord God, so you can pour out your fullness through us, Lord God, to bring blessing to others. And Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we just want to walk in the love that you gave us. We want to be walking in the areas of forgiveness, Lord God, not holding anything against anyone. I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you that your grace that's in us is greater than what anybody else will do. Hallelujah. I thank you that your love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost is a powerful, mighty love. Hallelujah. That works, Lord God. Lord, that we're not going to fret, worry. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're the blessed of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what other people do or say. Lord God, your hand's on us and you will bless us, Lord God. You'll fulfill your goodness through us. Hallelujah. And you'll show it, Lord God, right in front of whatever they do, Lord God, that they'll see. They'll see that you're a good God and they'll want it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Lord God, we thank you that all that you, the good work that you started in us, you're bringing to completion. I thank you, Lord God, for growing us up. Hallelujah. I thank you for dealing with things. Lord, we want to be adults in this world today. Hallelujah. Lord, spiritually, there's so many that aren't adults. There's so many, Lord God, that have walked with you. And Lord God, I pray, Father God, that you raise up ministers to preach the truth. Anoint men and women of God to stand up and preach, Lord God, that people, there's so many believers would hear, Lord God, the truth, so they can develop and grow and walk, Lord God, in the glory that you prepared for them before the foundation of the world. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.